I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
How has sin helped you? Okay, Pastor Noah, let's just cool it with the old sin serves a purpose sermon, because that's a dangerous idea. That could be taken the wrong way. And if people mishear that message, it could actually create more sin. Buster, fair enough, okay? This guy is a jerk, I know. Fair enough. And you're absolutely right, as Paul will point out later. But first, let's just calm down and listen to something else that Scripture has to say. The law was brought in by God so that trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. There you go again, Pastor. You better take it easy on all this God makes sin stuff, okay? Again, I hear you, but that was the Bible. That wasn't me. But I do get it. I understand we can't put God and sin in the same room, or we might compromise his character. So I want to be clear right from the get-go. God does not encourage sin, but he does expose and exploit it. Because just like everything else in all of creation, he can use it for good as long as we are willing to hear him out. And way back in the Old Testament, he laid out a paradigm-shifting principle of his plan that all of us need to hear. Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. And that changed everything for me when I first, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, because that just changed the way I understood everything. Because you see, when we wouldn't listen back in the garden, right, when he said, just don't do the one thing, and we said, well, we'll see about that. Back then, plan B was just to let our lives teach his truth if we wouldn't listen to it. Because try as we might, we can tune him out, but we can't tune out the discomfort of living in conflict with truth. And we just can't. It just happens. It's just we can't ignore it. Instead, every single sin that we commit has a way of punishing itself by creating a frustrating dysfunction in our lives that urges us to make a change. This just isn't working. I don't like it. So God didn't add the law to trip us up with more sin. That's not why we have the Bible, to just be like, oh boy, I'm bad, I'm terrible, I'm awful. No, he didn't add it to trip us up with more sin. He added the law to train us up with more lessons, because God is not setting us up to sin. He's waking us up to truth, amen? And to wake us up, sin makes a great alarm. We just have to hear how it works. But before we get to that, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in bed and you hear the smoke alarm in the other room doing that annoying chirping noise? We did it the other day where we were just like, close the door, close the other door, put a pillow over your head. And it was still there. And I was like, fine, I'm going to go do it. And what do you do to go fix it? You rip it off and you take the batteries out and you throw them across the room, right? You just take the batteries out. And then you think to yourself, problem solved, right? Have you ever done that? Me too. You know why? It works. It works. Problem solved. Until you wake up to a house on fire, right? It solved it temporarily. But in the same way, in the exact same way, humans tend to treat the pain and frustration in life as the annoying background noise that we just try to unplug or ignore, when in reality, it's trying to help us to hear the warning bell of sin. This ain't working, this ain't working. And every single annoying chirp of life is actually the mercy of God in disguise, because the frustration in this life alerts us to the presence of sin, saying there's a little something going on here. And that alarm, right, that alarm that's telling you that something is going wrong in your life, that there might be a fire coming, that alarm is meant to move us towards safety, not discourage us with the danger. Because here's how it works. God gave us this universe that he purposely hardwired with his truth so that whenever we try to live out a lie, reality pushes back. And in addition to that, he did it that way so that God can use that discomfort and the discomfort of that conflict to call us back, to say something's not going right. And that, oh boy, that was a game changer. Understanding that was a game changer for my faith, but not just my faith, C.S. Lewis's too, because we're the same guy. That's what I'm trying to say. I love this. Me and C.S. Lewis had the same idea. He explains how pain actually proved God to him when he saw that the pain was trying to teach us, not actually hurt us. That God turns out to be a good guy. The way that he says in Mere Christianity, he says, my argument against God, because he used to be an atheist. I don't know, make sure you all know that about C.S. Lewis. He used to be an atheist, argue against it. And then he would say, my argument against God was that the universe seems so cruel and unjust. But how had I got this idea of just and unjust? A man does not call a line crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line. What was I comparing this universe with when I called it unjust? Great question, right? Because you see, the very fact that pain feels wrong means that you already know what's right. So God uses irritation as motivation to call out what we know is crooked. This isn't right. And he does that also so we'll start straightening things out. So the big question this morning really is, take a look at your life and ask yourself, what is irritating you? Bless you. Bless you. Going for three? Not quite? Okay. Ask yourself, what is irritating you, right? Because you got a lot of stuff going on. You got a lot of those little chirping, annoying alarms that are starting to go off. Something is irritating you. But comfort and joy are the symptoms of strong faith. But irritation and frustration are signs of sin. They're trying to get you there. And until you ask God what's really causing the conflict that you're feeling, you're cooked. You know, do not be deceived, we're told. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, right? Whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. God doesn't have to heap it on. He's like, that's all you. As a matter of fact, the evil deeds of the wicked is what ensnares them. The cords of their sin hold them. He doesn't got to do it, right? They, those type, the wicked, they will eat the fruit of their ways, and they'll be filled with the fruit of their schemes. You get it? It's just all on them. You're doing it to yourself. Here's the bottom line. Our sin provides its own punishment. God doesn't have to do anything. He can just, how's that working out for you, buddy? Right? It works. And so, for example, I know this one all too well. If we give in to gluttony, the fruit of our overeating schemes will fill us with a host of health issues. What happened to me? Who did this? You did. You did that, right? And if we act out of anger, that anger itself is what's going to ensnare and hold us back from having healthy relationships. It's not anybody else. That's just our own sin doing that. And if we sow the seeds of greed, then we're going to reap the dissatisfaction of never having enough. That's on us. Because one way or another, all of our irritation and frustration can be traced back to the same single struggle. We are fighting against the reality of truth. Right? We do it all the time. If you're a parent, you've seen it all the time where they just are like, you can't believe that. And they go, I'm trying to. But that's it. You can't fight with truth, but we try. And if we're struggling with money, right, we can trace this all back. If we're struggling with money, it usually means that we're just fighting against the immutable math behind our spending. How are we so poor? What happened to all our money? Don't look at the credit card bills. Something's wrong. Who did this to me? No, it's the math that you're arguing with. You spent more than you brought in, right? When we struggle with relationships, we're usually fighting against the required reciprocation behind our expectation. Why aren't you nicer to me? Because you're a jerk. Like you gotta put something into it to get something out. And when we struggle with our health and we say, oh, you know, it's all victim woohoo me, we're usually fighting against just a biological response behind our behaviors. Right? That's just, science is just sciencing, right? Nobody is putting that on you but yourself. And God designed life that way on purpose so that we would see the change that we need. to correct each one of those conflicts. Because I mean, down here, just think of it this way. If you ate ice cream, don't try this. I mean, I have, but don't try it. If you eat ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner without seeing the problem, you know, you're a 19-year-old guy and you're like, life hacked. I am living good, right? And I don't see a problem with this. Well, don't worry. By day three, your body is going to sound the alarm and say, give me a vitamin or you're going to die. Like, you'll just start feeling it. And that's because aches and pains aren't good, but they are good for you. Okay? They're good for you. They help you. Those irritations that you're having in your life in one way or another, those irritations point us to a potential problem, so that we can admit the changes that we need to make. I guess I have to have some vitamins in my life, right? And since all the struggles in life, all your struggles have a spiritual source, every single change that you make is a small step to realign with God's design, to get it back to the way that things are supposed to work. Like we said a couple of weeks ago, because everything was created with an intended purpose, misuse creates misery, right? This is my new, I want to put this in your head, right? Because a sandwich makes a terrible hammer. Can we agree on that? If you don't know that, go home and try it. Try to just hammer a nail in with a sandwich. You will be sad and hungry. Don't do it. It makes a it's meant to be a meal. That's its intended purpose. And when you go against the intended purpose, things start to fall apart. But here's the good news, okay? Here's today what I want to add on to that. The good news is that same misery can create clarity if it inspires correction, right? If you keep hammering with that sandwich, at a certain point, you'll go, I'm going to try the hammer. And then everything gets better. And you're like, well, what do you know? Exactly. That's the whole idea. Because seeing symptoms is what compels us to go find a cure. Right? We have to just kind of see what's going wrong before we're actually going to go fix it. So to stop all that suffering, all the misuse and the misery that's going on, everything that's just like, why is this irritating? Because we're doing something a little bit off here, right? To stop that suffering, we need to become more sensitive to the three main sources of sin's annoying little chirps, annoying alerts. And they come from three places: our conscience, our consequences, and our community. And it all starts with our conscience. You know that annoying little guy who lives on your shoulder there. Your conscience, because your conscience is that irritating internal alarm that indicates that we are trying to ignore the truth that we already know. And it's saying, excuse me, don't do it that way. It's the same way that the psalmist said, before I was afflicted, right? Back before when I didn't feel the pain. But before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word. You see, because it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. And I kept trying to do things the wrong way. And eventually I went, what if I use the hammer instead of the sandwich? And so let me ask you this. You ever try to ignore a warning light on your dashboard? You have? What a great church. You guys are incredible. I have. I've done it a lot. I had a moment where they all came on and I was like, we still good to go? And I tried to, and then the next stop was the mechanic. But so we've all had that thing, you know, the check engine light, and you're like, yes, check engine, great advice. We will do that one day, but we don't really do it. But do you ever think to yourself, well, why don't I just put a little piece of tape over it? Right? You could just put a little piece of tape over it and you could get in that car every single day and never worry about it again. I see some of you shaking your head. My husband tried to do it and I was like, what is behind that tape? No. You know why you don't put tape over it? Because ignorance might silence the siren, but it won't alleviate the anxiety. You know what's under that tape. You can't make yourself forget about it. You can't escape what you already know. And so likewise, the inner emotional and spiritual conflict that we feel is just a reminder that we're wandering away from what we already believe. You already know something that's right, you know? You already know that there's a problem with the engine, but you're just trying to, you know, shut it down. And if we would just spiritually peel back that tape and start acting on the truth that we see, what is the problem here, right? Take our sin to the mechanic. Well, then the anxiety over our warning would just turn off. He'd go, yeah, dummy, you just got to do this. Bing, bang, bloom, switch the thing, and then you're good to go again until the next warning. Just take it to the mechanic. So pray this dangerous prayer when you feel inner discomfort. Say, Lord, I see it. I hear the warning, and I am just asking that you supply the guidance and the courage to confront the true conflict, to take the tape off and see where things are going wrong. Because if we don't confess what our conscience is trying to convey, then the alarm is just going to keep escalating. It's not just going to be the check engine. Your engine's going to start ka-clunk, ka-clunk, ka-clunk. It's just going to start falling apart. And it'll escalate into actual consequences because that alarm is harder not to hear. You can't ignore consequences like you can the engine light, right? Because consequences are the painful external effects that expose the seeds that we've already sown. And they alert us to examine those decisions that we made to see where we went wrong. And God told us a long time ago to like be careful. He gave us fair warning saying, there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, okay? Like everything's coming out. Nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. We're going to take the tape off of everything at some point. So if we don't confront our sin through that inner conflict of emotional distress, if we just try to ignore it away, it will manifest. It'll come out in a very material way that we can't ignore. It'll just become something that we can't stop because God loves us too much to let us get away with self-destructive sin. He just loves you too much. He's not going to let you just go on trying to do this horrible thing. Do you remember the region beta paradox? Probably not. I barely do, but, and I preached it. The region beta paradox, it's an idea in psychology that it's actually better for us to experience unbearable pain than to experience mild misery. Because we can endure a little irritation, right? We can just kind of get going with it and be like, eh, it's all right, it's okay. But we just can't ignore absolute agony. You can't. It just, you have to do something about it. So until our conflicts, our little inner conflicts, our little conscience, you know, until that escalates into inescapable consequences, the car broke down. You can't ignore it anymore. Until that happens, we can convince ourselves to overlook sin's subtle start. We can ignore those little chirps. It's the same way that we do this all the time. I mean, I was like, what examples do I have? I have so many examples. This was so convicting for me this week. It's like the same way that we tolerate a toothache until you can't eat. I mean, I remember I had that so much where I was like, I'll just eat on the other side. And I was like, ooh, that one hurts more. I'll eat on the other side. I'm like, no, I can't eat on either side. I'll just try to eat it whole like a goose, you know? And then I'm like, nope, this is bad. I'm going to go to the dentist. And they're like, you barely have teeth, man. So sometimes it's good. It has to get so bad that we'll actually go address the problem, right? Or it's another one that we see a lot over the place is we'll stay in an unhealthy relationship. We'll be like, oh, are you madly in love? I ran into an old friend and I was like, hey, you're still with that same girl. You guys going to get married? And he's like, no. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? I'm like, eh, you know, it is what it is. It's working out. I'm like, well, that's no good, right? We shouldn't stay in an unhealthy relationship, but we do. We stay in it until something goes bad. Somebody cheats. Something real bad happens. That's what's going to, like, you know, break things up. Or sometimes maybe we know this one. This hits a little close to home for some of us. Sometimes we don't admit that we have a drinking problem until we get arrested, right? It has to just break. Something really has to happen to get your attention, right? And sometimes that's a really loving thing that God's trying to do to get that attention. So before that happens, though, if you want to hear it first, before God has to raise the volume to stop your sin, pray this prayer. Say, Lord, quick, forgive me. I hear you. Forgive me for letting sin grow this big and help me to hit the brakes before any more damage is done. I want to stop it right here. I'm going to take it to the mechanic. Because if you don't, you're just going to become more numb. And you're going to be more and more numb. You're going to find ways to numb it and try to ignore it and plug your ears, blah, 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 blah. But while you're doing that, that doesn't cure the sin. That doesn't cure the problem. And those around us are going to keep on suffering through our sin, which will sound the alarm from our community. Right? If we still find a way to ignore it, because community is the relational feedback that warns us we are being blind to the fact that we are not living in harmony with reality, right? Somebody's got to tell you that this is not working out for you. But no discipline seems pleasant at the time, right? But painful. Nobody likes to hear that. Hey, here's something that's wrong with you. Nobody's like, oh, that's so good to hear. We should be. No, it's painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. It's what you want. Oh, the car's working. You know, everything's going okay. It produces that harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it, for those who hear it, receive it, listen, and act on it. Because even if we manage to ignore our inner conflict, right, and then we excuse the outer effects, it's not me, it's somebody else's fault, right? If you get through all that, it doesn't matter. Our dysfunction will still provoke others around us to intervene as our failure spreads to affect their lives. You know this happens when you come home and there's a circle of chairs in your living room and they're like, we're so glad you're here. You're like, uh-oh, I'm doing something wrong. Right? Because you're affecting them. The sin doesn't go away. The brokenness is just hurting other people now. But since discipline hurts now and heals later, nobody wants to hear that stuff. They've been trying to ignore it. Then it's really hard to see how correction from our community is caring. You know, instead we just go, yeah, well, you know what? You're not so great either. And they're like, sure thing. My intervention's next week. Come to that one. But for now, you just got to hear it. They're trying to help. You got loving people around you who are just trying to tell you what they're seeing. Because God will use every single brother, sister, friend, anybody who you value to tell you the hard truths that you need to hear, that you refuse to hear. And so the key to this is you got to make yourself attentive, right? You got to want to hear that. You got to make yourself attentive and not argumentative, even though that's our default. But we got to do that to be able to hear the caution that is coming from your community. And we can practice that by praying, all right, Lord, this is hard for me, but I need you to help me see past myself. I need to see past myself so that I can hear your caring correction in the words of others. I know that they mean well, and that's because you mean well, right? Okay, Pastor Noah, I've had about all I can take. I've been waiting for a while, but it still sounds like you're saying that we should welcome sin. Look at all this good stuff that happens. You better explain yourself. Okay, 100%. I understand that. You're not alone. As a matter of fact, all of this talk, because this is a dicey subject, because then we start going like, okay, the more sin, you know, the more good that's coming. And so when Paul explains the same principles throughout Scripture, he knows how it sounds. And so he does the same. I'm only doing the voice because he does the voice in the Bible. He's like, this Scripture where he says, why not say, let us do evil that good may result, right? He's like, I get where you're coming from. Or what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And then he says, one of these Paul, like I love it when there's no exclamation points, you know, in the old text, but it's here. By no means, dummy. Like, that's ridiculous. Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. That's not what we're saying. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? That's not the answer. That's not what we're saying. So thinking any of this justifies sin is just false logic, okay? It's false logic. The way that it would be ridiculous to argue that we should go out and spread more disease so doctors can cure more people. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. I'm going to need a little more response to that because you're making me nervous. Because if you don't respond to that, I'm not shaking your hand. You're going to be like, yeah, more disease means more curing. No, that's bad news. That's false logic. We shouldn't do bad so that there's more opportunity to good. There's plenty of bad around, right? And it should be obvious to everyone that alarms are good, but fires are not. Even if they trip the alarm and that helps us to correct ourselves, that doesn't make it good. Because the sting of sin doesn't make it safe. It just makes it seem. Sin's already there. Fire's already happening, right? We just need to see it because when we see each sin, it just gives us a new chance to recognize and receive God's grace and forgiveness to deal with that sin. And that right there, that is how sin helps us. Sin doesn't save us, but it proves that we need saving. And that's a big, huge step. Proves that we need saving. And we don't get saved until we know that we need it. That's why it's so important. You will not go out there and ask for advice. You will not hear all of these alarms if you don't think that you need them. They're just, it's not a big deal. But as soon as you realize there might be a fire, you're going to listen. So our sin actually exposes this very dangerous deficiency that we all have. We're like, you know, made out of matchsticks, just ready to go off. It exposes the dangerous deficiency in every human life that provides this opportunity for us to see and believe and receive God's supernatural love. Oh my goodness, things are so bad. His love runs so deep because you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Because God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right then, right there. And when we get to actually see that, when we see how he loved us at our worst, that revelation isn't meant to merely comfort us. That is meant to commission us. God's love is meant to commission us. Because he proved his love can save a sinner like you so that you can share the secret with everybody else who's still trying to ignore their alarms. All of the alarms that are going off because there's sin everywhere in everybody's life. They're trying to ignore the alarms that are warning them of their conflict with truth, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. You say, I got the mechanic for you. Right? And so knowing that, that's working out, that's why our instinct to punish or shame or set them straight has to die at the foot of the cross. Because we, of all people, should know that God's plan for their sin is already at work. Right? It's baked into reality. His truth is inescapable. So their engine lights are already on. Okay? Their pain is escalating. And everybody who lives down here, everybody's wickedness is already in the process of correcting them. Right? Everybody's reaping what they are sowing. That is the way that God designed it. Sinners need assistance, but God doesn't. Okay? It's just to get us to that point to say something's wrong with me, not his plan. His plan is right on target, which means our job is not to add pain. It is to add help. If you've seen it, you know it. So there's no need to dogpile. Help them out. Scripture calls this posture out very plainly, saying, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who have learned how to silence sin and now live by the Spirit, well, you should restore that person gently. That's how God did it with you. In other words, we don't decide eternal law and order. That is not our, that's way above our pay grade. We work in spiritual search and rescue. Every day, that's what you are called to do. We are in spiritual search and rescue. And we are only allowed to throw lifelines, not stones. Okay? That is not our job. So when you walk around this world this week, do what you're supposed to do, share God's truth, but share God's truth like it's oxygen to someone who needs it instead of delivering it like it's a citation, like you're punishing them with it, right? Because if you do it that way, if you show them, hey, here you go, here's something that's going to help you out, not to punish you more, that is how alarms become comfort. Hey, let's get out of here, right? That's how frustration becomes salvation, and that's how enemies become family. And it's not by minimizing sin at all. It's just about maximizing mercy. It's the same mercy that found us while we were cylinders. Remember when we were cylinders, guys? This really took the legs out from that one, right? It's the same mercy that found us and saved us while we were still sinners. Because whenever sin shows up, it's an opportunity for grace to show off. Watch what it can do. Can take your sin and can do something so good with it. So when the alarms in life, right, when the alarms go off in your life, you still need to heed the warning and you need to start heading to safety, right? Change your direction, do something right. But remember, While you're on the way out, you got to grab a hand and help someone else hear what their sin is trying to say. Because in the end, sin is just saying the same message to all of us, which is this. Don't you have somewhere better to be? Amen, right? Amen to that. Let's pray about it. Father God, oh boy, we need you, we need you. We thank you for sounding the alarms that wake us up to truth. And we thank you for using the brokenness in our lives to bring us back home where we belong. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you make our faith attentive this week to better hear the warnings from our conscience and our consequences and our loving community. We want to hear them as your words. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for everything, your patience in dealing with us. We praise you for meeting us in the middle of our mess to rescue us from the sting of our own sin. And we thank you by imitating your love to lead everybody else, everyone that we come across, from the same frustration of their sin. Now that we all said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.